Okay, I want to start off telling you stories about Mike Slater. The reason he picks on me is because I don't know how we met each other. We met each other several years ago before he had any kids or anything. And I was training for Ironman Arizona, and he was training for Ironman, oh, it's like up somewhere, like in Europe, Zurich. There we go, is that right? Zurich's in Europe, okay. And so we trained together a little bit. And it was funny because we had some guys that went down, Jim Bennett and a couple of other guys went down. He did Ironman Arizona too. And so we went down to the cove to swim. We were swimming from the cove to the shores and back. That's when I found out that Mike Slater swam for Princeton. And I didn't. So he kind of got back and, you swam for Princeton too? Oh, Yale. Yeah, but this is a bad story, so I should have just kept it Princeton. But you're right. And so we got out of the water and we took off our wetsuits and we were going for like some 50-mile bike ride or something like that. We get about 25, 30 miles out and he goes, I left my wetsuit on the hood of my truck, my brand new wetsuit. Well, I have cheap wetsuits, relatively speaking. I know he didn't. And so we turned around and started just flying back as fast as we could on our bikes. And I just went, you know, Mike, you swam for Yale? Wow, they'll let anybody into Yale. You'll leave your wetsuit on the hood of your car. Anyway, that's part of the Michael, that Mike Slater story. He's amazing, isn't he? He does a good, good job. And he really does love us, like you said. I'm going to start off with having a couple guys share. I'll open in prayer. This isn't going to be, if you've gone to any of my God conversations or evangelism classes or anything like that, this will have this much of it. What I'm going to share with you is my absolute heart on what God is doing right here and right now. Some of it Jim Gilbert talked about. Some of it Mike Slater talked about. Some of them, you've been around here long enough, you know. But it's incredible. We harass the worship and Dave Hoffman about two separate things. One of them is, you know the song we sang today, and I love to sing, and I really didn't have a problem with it, but other people do. He's never failed me yet. And people go, what do you mean yet? It's like he's going to fail you tomorrow. Any second now, he could fail you. So I solved it today, Shane. I went up to Hank after worship, and I said, this is what I'm singing. He's never failed me yet. You guys speak Russian? Yet. He's never failed me. No. It rhymes with everybody else. They don't know I'm singing the wrong thing. And then, so if you guys have a problem with that, just say yet, and you'll be fine. The other thing is, Dave taught on Jesus is passing by. And it's cool. That scripture, Jesus is passing by. Jesus was passing by. The kid's dead. He raises him from the dead because he was passing by. It's really extraordinary. You know, just plugged in there. Just like, oh yeah, one day. And so we've done these Jesus is passing by videos. Well, have any of you guys heard people or been the people who are grumbling? Dude, Jesus isn't passing by. Jesus is camped out. It's like crazy. What do you mean Jesus is passing by? It's like, whoops, any second now he won't be here anymore. So I'm going to tell you a story, I think, if I have enough time. And I'm going to have a couple of other guys come up first. Did any of you read the Left Behind series? Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story about Left Behind. And so we're going to change the video based on that story to Jesus is inviting you to lunch. And I'll share that story with you. But first I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite a couple of guys up just to give you a taste of the kind of thing that's going on around here. Father, I ask that your presence would be here powerfully. I'd ask that your presence would just saturate this room. I'd ask, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would just pierce our hearts. Father, what I have written down on paper doesn't have any impact at all. Without your power, without your Holy Spirit revelation, it falls far short of what these men deserve. So please be here and be honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I named this what I wanted to share with you, kind of the subtitle is shift. And I'm going to talk to you about a shift that I think has gone on. And if it hasn't gone on with you, I think it's a shift that needs to go on. Yeah. Okay? So I wondered about that title a little bit. And then I talked to Alex Robles yesterday. Alex, come on up and share why, what happened with you, and why this should be titled Shift. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Robles.
Can you hear me okay? All right. Well, this weekend's about honor, so it's an honor to come up and talk to you guys, first and foremost, especially with Kevin's, being in Kevin's group. But he's talking about shift, and it's kind of an odd story, but it kind of fits what he's talking about, shift. I have a lot that needs to be cleaned up every year because it's for fire hazards, so they make sure you clean it up. Otherwise, they'll clean it up for you and charge you a lot of money. So I paid this guy to clean it up, went up and checked the work, and it was good. And so he got in his car and left after I paid him, and I got in my truck to drive home. So I got up and started turning my car on. It's a 2004 Ford F-150. It doesn't matter what kind of car, but that's what I had. And it has a console shift. I couldn't get it out of park. Never had that problem before. It was stuck in park. I was like, what's wrong with this? So I turned it off, started up again, stepped on a brake, grabbed the shifter, moved it again, and still stayed in park. I must spend 15, 20 minutes and would not get out of park. It was just almost like it was wedged in there and it was stuck, wouldn't move. So I said, what am I gonna do now? Well, I guess I'm gonna have to call a tow truck to get it home. So I called the tow truck, AAA came out, and he brought a flatbed. Well, he's gonna have to drag it onto the flatbed because it was stuck in park. Well, I didn't want to drag the car. I didn't want to do any more damage to it than it was already done. I figured the problem was minor, but not having tools with me to work on it or get underneath, because I was on a roadside where cars passed by, I didn't want to get hit. I told him, you know what? I don't want to haul it on there. I don't want to drag it onto the car, onto the flatbed. He says, well, we'll send out another tow truck that can lift the rear wheels, and then we'll move it. I said, okay, that'll be better. He said, but you're going to have to wait another hour. I said, well, I'm not going anywhere, so go ahead and call him. So he did. And then he left. About 10 minutes after he left, I thought, all right, God, I should have came to you first with this problem, but I didn't. So I'm coming to you now. So I prayed to God to help me get that transmission out of park and when to drive. And so I apologized to him for not coming to him first, but I said, I'm here now, and I need your help. If you could help me just to get this truck home, and then I can find out what the problem is. So after the prayer, I got in, I started it up, tried to move it out of park. It wouldn't move out of park. So I didn't think it was God's fault because it wasn't out of park. Something mechanically wrong with the truck. So I waited a few minutes, did it again, it wouldn't come out of park. So finally I pulled it with one hand and tried to mess with it with my other hand on the left on the little rubber thing that slides where the shifter's at. And lo and behold, it comes out of park and I get it into drive. So I thank God for that, for helping me get it out of park. And so I thought, what a great God story. So that's why I'm sharing it with you. But that was only the beginning of the God story. That was on Thursday evening. Friday morning, we have a discipleship group that meets every Friday for breakfast. So we're having our normal talk on Friday morning about God things and his word and how it relates to us in our lives and how we live it out. And then it hit me. This wasn't so much about my car being in park and I couldn't get it out to go home. What I realized, what God was telling me, and this is the word I'm passing on to you guys, many of us Christians live our lives as Christians with our transmission stuck in park, our spiritual transmission. And we don't move. We stay right where we're at. We don't grow. We don't study God's word. We don't get involved. We're stuck in park, and we can't move. In order for us to get our spiritual transmission moving, we have to trust God. We have to turn to him and ask for his help. When we do that, we're able to get it out of park and move forward. There That's pretty much my message. So.
Right on, man. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's about shifting. So now God has confirmed that I'm supposed to call this shift. Let's see about the rest of it. Before I bring the next guy up, I want to take a look at something Jim Gilbert said last night. Because for a guy that's from Florida, he knows a lot about what's going on here. You know, the fact that he saw Bill Wells on the air in Florida talking about his Christian faith and probably his run for Congress, 50th Congress, vote for Bill Wells. Can I say that in church? Oh, wait a minute. I'm not the senior pastor. He's a good friend of mine. I can give you the website where you can donate. Jim talked to us about entering into the fullness of what God's called us to. That's what Alex is talking about. If you're stuck, you know, maybe you're at a park, but maybe you're in first gear, right? What has he called you to? At the very end, Mike Van Meter talked about if God's placed a dream or a vision or a calling in your heart, but you're not fully engaged in it, like go over to the sides. I don't know, did anybody in here go over to the sides and get prayer for that? Right on. Because there needs to be a shift. That's a shift. That's actually going, okay, I'm going to take this to the next level. Just like our church is in transition, right? You guys know we're in transition. Young guys are preaching a whole lot more than the old guys rotating, right? And all over the place. That's happening. There's a shift that's going on right before our mind. And the thing about it is that one of the things when he was sharing about Estonia, how many of us have been to Estonia? That's what I thought. Oh, yeah. Okay. Jim Hammond. What place haven't you been? Okay. But you know what? That girl in Estonia came to the Lord, and it sounded like half of Estonia came to the Lord because of the love they showed for the people and for each other. And that's scriptural, right? That's powerful. That's the Bible saying, Jesus is saying, listen, your love for each other is going to cause people to know that the Father sent the Son. Your love for each other is going to cause people to know that you're my disciples. And I think that's a place, at least for me, I'm like Mike, you know, I speak out of my failings, is that how am I doing on love? Do I need to make a shift on love? I'll give you a prime example. Do I have any of my Middle Eastern friends here? I just don't want to offend any of you if I did, but this is what was offensive to me. I was at Charles Simpson conference a while back, and I heard Charles, well, really it was God, not Charles, tell me the reason that those immigrants are in El Cajon is because I sent them there and I trust you to love them. He's talking about foothills. And we're talking about real love, not ooey-gooey love, not the kind where you cry in front of your wife. We're talking about the verb, we're talking about boldly. So I went, okay, Lord, I know I don't do that very well. A good example was a week or two later when I came and my wife loves these Mediterranean grocery stores, these Middle Eastern grocery stores, right? So I'm going there. I pull in like any good Americans would. I see a guy's pulling out of a parking place. I turn my left signal on. I'm waiting for him to get out of the way. And you know exactly what happened. Some guy who couldn't possibly be a Christian just came in and took my parking place. And it was my parking place. I had my turn signal on. Who the heck did he think he is? I knew that if I went in there, I would probably have, I mean, you mostly see me calm, right? I'm kind of like Hank. And but man, I had to turn around, go home, and mow my lawn. That's what I had to do. So I didn't punch the door, like another friend of mine would do. So I knew that I needed help with love. I knew that I needed a shift in love. The other thing I'm going to talk to you about today that we need, I believe we need a shift in, unless you're already there, and just like Slater said, if you're already there, praise God, you can pray for the rest of the guys in the room. We need a shift in power. If God doesn't confirm his word with signs and wonders, if he doesn't confirm his word with power, it's just going to fall to the floor. It's just going to be words. The thing about it is we're seeing that breakthrough at Foothills in love, and we're seeing that breakthrough in Foothills in power. And Shane and I, we have this like, I think it's good. It's a spiritual jealousy. It's a spiritual, like, discontent. It's not like a one-upsmanship. You know, like when you go to a men's retreat and the guy shows you his scar? Yeah, he got it from a lawnmower blade flying off and almost cutting his arm off. Well, when I was in Nam, my entire leg fell off and it sewed it back up. Well, when I was, you know, and it's just grosser and grosser. And when we have wounds, we all have a story. Oh, yeah? Like, we're not even listening to the other guy's story. We got one better. It's not like that with Shane and I. It feeds me, Father, I want to see that. I want to do that. I want to share that. And so Shane and I had one of those sessions recently. And it really struck me because it was really unlike things that I had heard. So, Shane, I want you to come up and share what we talked about at the high school. Tell them a little about it.
Okay, so I think just an important backstory that I felt like the Lord put on my heart, it only take a second, is like probably like 9 months ago now, I was, sorry, my voice is a little louder than Alex's, but 9 months ago now, I was watching this documentary, and it's this crazy evangelist guy. He goes into towns, and he goes door to door, and he goes to the town until he finds people that will receive the gospel, and he just leads tons of people to the Lord, baptizes them, and sees people healed. It's amazing. And I was watching this documentary, and him and like some of his friends like held this barbecue, and they invited this guy who's been in a wheelchair for 13 years. And his son is three. His son is, sorry. He's been in a wheelchair for 10 years. His son is 3 years old. And so his son has virtually never seen him walk, ever. And so this guy, Torben, who's an evangelist, invites this dude in the wheelchair to the barbecue. They pray for this guy. And they pray for him, and it's on the video. He stands up, and he gets up out of the wheelchair and is walking. He gets on a bike, and he's riding a bike. And his son is just, his son is weeping. He's just weeping. So he's been in a wheelchair since his son was three. His son was 13 now, and so he's in a wheelchair for 10 years. So he's 13 years old. He's weeping on the floor, seeing his dad walk. And then the next clip is Torben taking this guy to the nearest stream and baptizing him and his son. And then the next clip is 6 months later, the guy and his son still walking with the Lord. And I'm watching this video, and something happens inside of me, and I start weeping, and my wife is next to me, and we're both weeping, watching this guy get baptized and save him. And we were just thinking, and we started praying, saying, Lord, we want that. Amen. So bad. God, we need that. And so we started praying, and I started staying up late praying. But anyway, and so the thing that Kevin wanted me to share is, like, we're thinking of, like, imagination, right? And so I do music, right? I lead worship. And pretty much the only way I've ever used my music is when I'm leading people in worship. I've never really done anything outside of that. But I felt it on my heart one day just to bring my guitar to a higher ground club. Not to lead worship, but literally just to play. I don't know if God was speaking to me. I don't know. All I knew was I felt like bringing my guitar. I was like, this might be fun. And so I start going through the halls as I'm walking to higher ground, and I just start playing, not worship songs, right? I'm just playing some funky stuff, you know, whatever. And the kids, it like gets their attention, and they like it. And I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. Like, they like it. And so I spend a couple weeks of them just liking the music, and then a light bulb goes off. I'm like, wait, there's a reason that they like it. Like, God wants to actually do something. And so I decided, I was like, Lord, I'm going to start being intentional about this. And so I went, and I was walking down the halls, and there's this girl was walking, you know, kind of at the same pace, but she wasn't going to higher ground. She wasn't walking with me, but was just walking at the same pace. And just out of my mouth says, what's your name? And she says her name. And I just start singing her name. And I just start singing about her. And I'm like, what am I doing right now? But she starts blushing and laughing. And all of these people around start laughing. Not like I was making fun of her, but they were like, that is so funny. Like, that was a cool song that he just made up on the spot. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And so I was like, Lord, this could be such a cool tool for you. And so this okay, here it is. One more minute. And so right outside the classroom, There's this big group of Middle Eastern kids that always hang out. This is El Cajon Valley High School. This group of Middle Eastern kids. And so every week I've gone over and said hi to them and invited them, come in and pray with us. And they're always like, no, we're not going to pray to God. And so this time, come on, Kevin. So this time I was like, you know what, man? Like, I'm going to try the music thing. And so I go out there with my guitar, and then they're like looking at me like, what is going on? And so I go out, and I'm like, hey, man, what's your name? And so I start singing his name, and all the kids start busting up laughing, and I'm like, this is awesome, Lord. You're going to use this right now. And so I go down the line, and I just start singing all their names, and I'm like, yo, you know, Eric with the super cool shoes and the sunglasses, you know, just whatever, stuff like that. And so then this one guy, I was like, man, what do you want to do with your life? He's like, I don't know, but I love playing Fortnite. And I was like,
tell him what Fortnite is.
Oh, Fortnite is this video game that all these kids are like stoked about. And so he's like, I don't know, but I love playing Fortnite. And so I was like, well, do you make money doing Fortnite? He's like, not yet. And I was like, okay. So I start singing about him making money doing Fortnite. And I'm just like making some money, doing the fun, you know, shooting the people, whatever. And I'm just singing this song to him. And the kids start laughing even more. And then at some point, I feel the presence of God. And I'm like, wait a second. This doesn't, like, you don't feel the presence of God when you're singing about Fortnite, okay? But I felt the presence of God. And as I'm singing, all of a sudden, the kid starts crying, who previously, 3 weeks, you know, as I'm telling him come to pray, he's hard-hearted. He starts crying as I'm just singing some funky song about him, like, playing Fortnite. And so he starts crying, and his friends, like, go from laughing to, like, why is he crying? And not only was he crying, but he kind of fell back against the wall, took his glasses off, and was wiping his eyes. And I was like, what is going on? I don't know. But after that, two of those kids from the group came in, and they prayed with me that day. The next week, I went out, and I was singing to them again, and whatever, and we were just hanging out. And this was just this last week. There was about 8 kids in that group. 6 of them came into the club. These are all just Middle Eastern kids, and they came in, and we joined hands, and we're praying to God in Jesus' name, and we're praying, and the Holy Spirit's in the room, and it was beautiful. And so the thing is like, it was like I was imagining, Lord, what could you do with music that I haven't done yet? Like, what are the possibilities? You know, like, why not be a weird, like, hippie and just walk down the hallways and just play music and just serenade the kids? Like, what could God do with that? It's just like imagination, you know?
Right on. Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Right on. A really, really important point is you don't need to be Shane Blayfield, okay? Unless you want to do that, then cool. But the thing is that God's got this in you. See, you know, really, if you look at it one way, like, we're part of God's imagination. He thought up, wouldn't this universe be cool? Wouldn't Hank D. Mahusky be a really great idea? And he spoke them into existence. There is a divine imagination that being created in his image we have. And that, so what if, how are you built? How did he make you? What do you do? One key element that Shane's got there that really, really impacts me, and it goes to the love side as well, is when, how many of you were here National Day of Prayer worship night? Okay, crazy good. So many things came out of that. But do you remember when Harold said, you want to do anything about homelessness? Go up to them and find out their name. Ask their name. Start there. With the Middle Eastern guy that steals my parking space, probably a better approach. Well, I got my lawn mowed in anger. But, you know, I could have said, hey, Joe, enjoy the parking place. I don't know what I could have said to him in that thing. But have you had... people that are different than you, whether they're homeless, whether they're Middle Eastern, whether they're however they are different than you, when's the last time that you had a cup of coffee? When's the last time that you invited somebody to breakfast and they went, why? When did you have a conversation that starts a relationship? Because that's when the Lord invades, right? During the shooting, right? The Alonzo shooting. I got this red-haired Mohawk, you know, SoCality friend, goes out and holds hands with African-American protesters and is praying with them. He's the least African-American looking guy I've ever met. But he was bold with his love, okay? So these are the questions. This breakthrough is happening right now. I could have brought a dozen people up. They would have all had a different kind of story. We need to be a part of this. So the first thing we need to do is realize okay? You need to realize what's going on. I've been talking to my home group. Do you guys understand? It's not for another day. It's not for another person. It's here. It's now. It's happening. Don't miss it. Happened to David. Check this out. After David had already been king and he was winning some battles and everything, it says in 2 Samuel this, and this is what I want for you guys to grab, for me to grab. It says, and David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that he exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. 2 Samuel 5:12. It was like a revelation. Ping. Hey, God's established me as king. And what happened is he had one of the biggest breakthroughs he ever had. In fact, the place where he had the breakthrough, he named it in Hebrew, Lord of the Breakthrough. We need that kind of breakthrough. That's what's going to happen. The revival that we've been praying for years and years and years here, the shoulders that we've been standing on, like George Runyon's and these guys that have been doing this forever and never saw any breakthrough at all, it's happening now. We have to realize we are in a time of breakthrough. Remember how, you know, Jim was saying, everything's really crappy in California. It's a mess. It's worse than he understands because we live here. It's upside down. Which bathroom will your junior high boy go to? More frightening, which bathroom that your daughter's in will a junior high boy go in California? And the bills that are being passed here that are just absolutely crazy. Number one, we have to realize that there is a breakthrough going on and nobody and nothing is going to stand against us. If we believe the things that we say in worship are true, like, think about the words you sing in worship. You have to walk that way. Worship is not just singing up here during a worship service. Worship is our life as we walk it out, right? So, we're talking about love and power. First of all, realize that that's the time in. Secondly, let's take a look at a list of guys, and I want to see if I had a coffee card, I would give it to you. Tell me something about these guys. Well, do you know who they are? Anybody recognize these names? Only, is Dan Dealing in here? Dan could answer this. We never ask Dan Dealing these questions. So anybody got a shot at it? There we go. Yep.
They're related. Noah?
No. However, they're back towards those days, maybe a little bit. Okay, so you ever hear about the guy who didn't invent anything, right? That's because he didn't do anything. These are the guys that were leaders, absolute leaders of their tribes. And God said, send the leaders of these tribes into the promised land as spies to give their report. Those are the other ones. Nobody's singing any songs about, you know, these guys. Joshua and Caleb, we know, right? What was the difference between these guys and Joshua and Caleb? They were way afraid. They went in and were looking through a lens of fear, and what they saw were, we're like grasshoppers. What did Joshua and Caleb say? Joshua and Caleb said this. The land which we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation, this is the congregation's response, it was a bad day. The congregation said, stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the sons of Israel. If you're in depression and despair and discouragement about California, about San Diego County, about everything except for the, you know, what God, you see God doing here in El Cajon, you're buying into that fear. You've got the wrong paradigm. You've got the wrong point of view. You're wrong. You're wrong, because the God that we serve and the God that we worship and the God that parts the Red Seas and the God that gave the promised land to those two guys, the other guys didn't even get in at all. And we don't even know their names. You know, when I got up last night and I told you about the five people that were invited to have an incredible impact, that they'd be the main players in this whole homelessness thing, that's for real. Do you guys remember when the city council wouldn't let us have this church here? You guys have heard the story a dozen times. It's us. We're here because God, it's like supernaturally changed votes and we're here. Did you know that after that, the city charter was rewritten by an unnamed pastor on staff here, giving favor to churches to build without a conditional use permit in the city of El Cajon? You live in a city where the mayor publicly proclaimed Jesus Christ is Lord over El Cajon. At Future Quest, Bill Wells got up, said, "The place is packed. Put your phones on me. Everybody recording? I'm the mayor of El Cajon. I love Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian, and I am not ashamed." 30,000 views later, the man is running for Congress. You decide whether you're going to vote for him. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this shift in love, okay? So first of all, I want to know if we agree with Jesus' mission. Do we agree that that was a huge part, what a main part of Jesus' mission? He also came to destroy the works of the enemy, and I like that. But do we agree with this one? Yeah. That was his mission. Okay. So, do we agree with this slide? Is that your mission? Are you in drive? Are you sold out? Are you all in? I'll tell you when Jesus said that, this part was crazy. I'm going to jump way ahead, and I'm going to tell you about three pieces. On Pentecost, what's tomorrow, by the way? Anybody know? It's Pentecost Sunday. It's celebrating when this story happened. We're going to be celebrating it on Wednesday. Because Franklin Graham's in Escondido, and he refused to move his date for us, and so we honored him and decided to move our Pentecost celebration to Wednesday night. Don't miss it. Let me tell you something, how serious this is. Your staff pastors are all praying and fasting. And there'll be a time where the Dave and Mark and all the staff pastors will be up here, and we are praying and fasting so we can pray for you. And not just the fire tunnel thing that we did that one time that took until midnight. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. If you're into that, it's cool. But this one's like, I'm praying for a word for Joe Asciutto. That God would give him a revelation. That would be a direct oracle from God. We're serious about this. That's what happens on Wednesday. But on Sunday, this is what happened. Okay, so in John 20, it talks about, we're going to those slides if you can catch up with me, Jim. This is the slide. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now you got to get the picture. They're hiding out. They're terrified. They're scared. And then Jesus just walks through the wall. I don't know if that helps you being scared when that happens, because they didn't even recognize me, so I don't know. That "peace be with you" didn't quite do anything. We know it didn't do anything because he had to say it again. They recognized him. He showed them their hands and feet, and the disciples rejoiced because they saw it was the Lord. And Jesus said again, "Peace be with you." Now they saw it was Jesus. And so he said, "Peace be with you." But they were already overjoyed. So first of all, he said, "Peace be with you," because they were terrified. That didn't catch on with them. So then he said, "Peace be with you." And the reason I think he said, "Peace be with you," is because what you had up there, Jim? As the Father has sent me, I send you. You know what? In the Bible, and keep that up, Jim, when God says, be not afraid, do you know why he says that? Because there's every single reason that you will be afraid. There's reason to be terrified. There's reason to be afraid. He doesn't say have courage when you're not going to have need for courage, right? You get it? It's kind of like when he said, whoever was preaching, I think it was Mike, have you considered my servant Job? You don't ever want to hear that. Don't consider me, Lord. It's okay. I don't want to go through that. He said peace to them because this is a dangerous walk with God. If you're not having some challenges and some stretching and some refining and going through the crucible, you may be in park, right? Because if you don't need peace, then maybe you're not being sent. You're not accepting the mission. Put it right back up again, Jim. But then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's when he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. Do we have his Holy Spirit? Do we have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, dove, lighting, boom, Holy Spirit, resting on him, didn't go away? Jesus didn't do all those miracles because he was God. If Jesus did all the things that he did because he was God, then good job. We're all spectators. Man, that was cool. Jesus said, greater works will you do than I did. You'll do these works and greater works because he did them as a man to show us that we could do them. And that's where those guys got it. Breathed on them, just like he breathed into Adam the breath of life right in Genesis. That's where we get that power. And then, so number one, today, one of determine whether you're afraid to go give yourself to the mission that you agree with you've been sent to. Or number two, have you been sent? Have you taken his mission? Have you engaged in it? Number three, Thomas wasn't there. And I don't need the slide on Thomas, but you know Thomas. Thomas goes, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Actually, they didn't believe it until they saw it too. And so then he pokes his fingers in the wounds and everything, and he goes, it's you. That's incredible. But when Thomas came in before he believed, Jesus had to say to him, peace be with you. Again, a third time. And you might be in that category. You might doubt. You might doubt what I'm saying. You might doubt that it's just okay, that you just live on the cruise ship, having a good time with nice people, steak dinner, and that's good enough because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. You might doubt that you have any part in this at all. You are certainly not going to go down the hallways of El Cajon High School and be singing to Middle Eastern guys. But what has God given you, right? What do you got? There are things that these guys, you know, when we have these stories, oh, yeah, I was used by a guy in a urinal to get him saved at a wedding. Yeah, that sounds really, you know, like, well, that's weird. But you've got your story. You've got your mission. He built you a certain way to go do this. I promise. He sent you. He wants you to do that. And we need to have a shift in that to understand. Let me take one quick step back to love, because like the guy in the driveway, I got a feeling like if you buy in, like, yeah, I want that power, you know? One of the most encouraging things to me is when somebody comes up and says, hey, I read that book you gave me, or I bought into it, and I've been sharing my faith with people, and people are getting saved. That same saved that you got, you were a part of. Let's go back to love. I'll finish up with love. Let me give you the flavor of what compelled Jesus and what I think needs to compel us if we're going to be on this mission, sharing his story. It says in John 9:36, when Jesus looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. so confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. In Matthew 9:36, it says, he looked out over the crowds. It's exactly the same verse, Jim. Don't put it up twice. In Matthew 10:21, it says, Jesus looked him hard in the eye. This is the rich young ruler. He looked him in the eye and loved him. He said, there's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth, and come and follow me. So many times, every time, Jesus was compelled by love for the lost. Can you put up Romans 5? This is the deal. That same love that Jesus had for us was poured into us by the Holy Spirit, just like when you receive the Holy Spirit, just like when the apostles received the Holy Spirit. That's when his love was poured into them with power. And it's when we were helpless. This was his love while we were yet sinners. So my point to you, and to wrap it up, is this. Let's be honest. I'll be honest. Let's check our love quotient today. How much do you love sinners? I'm not talking about the cute little sinners that you minister to maybe on junior high night, or your kids when they're acting like heathens. The unlovely ones. How many of us could really use a shift, a breakthrough, to have God's love for the lost? How many need that? I need it. How many of us need a shift or a breakthrough in saying, Father, I want your power? If you said I could do those things, I want to. How many need that? How many need a breakthrough in power? How many of you believe that God wants that? Love and power in your life, right? Let's see how long I've got, because I want to pray for you guys. Okay, we've got enough time for this. I'm going to tell you a dumb story about Left Behind. I hope I didn't break that mic. You guys remember the Left Behind series? It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with somebody's left behind. And it's a girl's. I was not involved. No men were involved in this behind story. When you finally say, Father, what do you have? This is how I wake up in the morning. Father, what do you got? I want to be a part of it. I don't want that Shane Blayfield telling me another story is better than my story. Come on, God. What do you have? So these three girls get up, three girls in your congregation get up, and they say that, and they go into a restaurant a few weeks ago. There's three of them going to eat. There's a woman sitting at a table, a girl, I don't know, maybe their age, sitting at a table by herself. So one of the girls, fired up, fired up for Jesus, says, she's got this pain in her left rear end, her left butt cheek. The other two girls, being perhaps more mature in the Lord, said, you really can't go up to her and say, do you have pain in your left butt cheek? That just, somehow that just doesn't seem right. I don't know. People do it. Yeah, it depends on the city. So the girl who told her you can't go talk about her butt cheek says, uh-oh, I just got a word. Lord just gave me a word. That she's a busybody, not like a gossip, but a busybody, like she's busy all the time. Well, if I can't go say butt cheek, then you got to go over and say that. Come on. So she goes over. She goes over to the table, and she's kind of sissing out a little bit. She says, would you like to have lunch with us? Because that's soft, right? Still a little strange. That doesn't happen all the time. Certainly didn't happen to this girl. She said, why? Why? Okay, here's the deal. She sits down and she says, I'm a Christian. I love God. I love Jesus. And I think he gave me a word for you. By the way, just a tip, that's Christianese. She might not have known what a word for you meant, but might have something for me to tell you, might have a message for you. Her eyes get kind of weirded out big. She says, okay, what is it? Well, he just told me the word busybody, that you're busy for everybody else, running around busy, doing things for other people, but he's really calling you into a time of rest. The girl just stops. Her eyes well up with tears. And she says, I'm a maid of honor in a wedding right now. I own, you guys know what that bridezilla thing is all about? Okay, that's a terrible thing. That's why we should never be bridesmaids. It's a horrible idea. Also, I own a company and I'm running a nonprofit, doing all this stuff, busy, 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 and I have lupus. You guys know what lupus is? It's nasty. I'm coming to have lunch with you. She moves over to the other table. She sits down. They have conversation. They trade Facebook and all of this. They're talking. And finally, Ashley, can I just ask you a question? This is weird, but now we know each other. We've broken bread together. Is the pain in your left butt cheek? Yeah. It's incredible in my left butt cheek. It's all right here, like in my back and hips and butt. Well, God wants to heal it. They pray. He heals it. No pain in the left butt cheek. Dude, it's happening right now. And it'll happen, your version of it. I promise you. If you step out and say, yes, God. You got sent for a mission. You sent me like he sent you. You breathed your Holy Spirit in me, and I can do those things, and I can love like you loved, but you gotta help me. I have to do it with your love. If that's for you, stand up. Shane, come on up. We're gonna pray for you. You don't have to come up. You don't have to get anointed with oil, because I gotta tell you something on Pentecost. If you don't get it now, you will get it that night. But I want to pray, and then I want you to pray, Shane, okay? So if this is for you, if you're just getting up stretching, that's cool too. But if this is for you, what I want to do is just release that anointing to them. Okay. I want to set them absolutely into it. So if that's for you, then you receive it. If it's not for you, then pray for the guy next to you. Father, right here and right now in this place. Father, in this place where you have made that Shane telling that story about the guy in the wheelchair is absolutely awesome, but it has happened right here at Foothills, Father. There is a man walking around with a severed spinal cord. The VA still gives him his money, and he's walking everywhere out of the wheelchair, Father. You do that here. It's not in Norway. It's not in Wichita. It's not in Estonia. It's right here in our midst, left butt cheek stories, people getting healed. Father God, would you be glorified here? Father God, would each man that's willing now, like Bill Wilson said once, there's different trimesters when you're pregnant. If you're in the first trimester and you're not ready for it, let it pass by. But for those that are ready to be the sons of God birthed, because nature itself travails to see the sons of God walking in their fullness, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, if that's for you, then I release that to you right now. Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, we refuse to walk by sight.
Amen.
And we refuse to live life based on what we see around us, what we hear on the news, and what we see our friends experience, Lord. We refuse to live that way. We want to live by faith and faith alone. Faith in your words, Jesus, when you told us what we are to do and what signs would follow us since we believe and what words we could speak and the contagious love and the light that could flow from us to other people. God, we want that and we want nothing less.
Amen.
We want nothing less than to be able to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
I pray that this would be the prayer of every single person in here. Lord Jesus, that you would crucify my desires, that that I would own the verse that says, you would come in me so that I would not do as I please.
Yeah.
I surrender everything that I please, and I take on in Jesus' name what you please, God. Because he needs a pure bride, you guys.
Bless you.
And so that's what we offer to you. And whatever I'm able to release in Jesus' name over you, eyes open, ears open, hearts open in Jesus' name. Mm. If you're in a workplace and you have like unsaved coworkers that you want to work on, but maybe you've been a little bit afraid, I just want you to lift both hands in the air and just say, Lord, give me boldness. Give me your heart, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
When they see me, let them see you.
Yes. Yes.
Give me your eyes. Give me your countenance.
Yes. Words of knowledge, Lord. Those things that these men could not know about those people that give breakthrough. Father, we release at your will, Father, a supernatural love. A supernatural love. A love that these men have not had before. We release it to them, Father. The power of your Spirit, where they have had prejudice, where they have had, they've dismissed or esteemed people less than they should have, we release love. We release love, Father, to them.
Read a scripture real quick. Acts 4:31, you said?
Yeah.
Not do one page at a time. Something wrong with your Bible, Kevin.
It's operator error, brother.
Okay. One more.
It's in there, I promise. Acts 4:31 is in my Bible.
Here we go, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. If you want that, if that strikes your heart right now, just hold out your hands. Amen. And Lord, we believe that you want to spark us afresh. We believe that you want to fill us afresh. So in this house, Lord, every heart that is genuinely asking, would you fill us right now with your boldness, God? With your boldness, Lord, just Peter was such a fool, and he was so nameless and useless and faceless. And then the Holy Spirit fell on him and fell on that whole room, and they got up, and in one day, 3,000 were saved. We believe you can do it today, Lord. We yes. believe you can do it today. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Give us eyes to see, God. Open our heart, Lord.
Yep.
Let us walk in the boldness of Peter.
Yep. Just like Peter's name was changed, Joshua's name was changed. I don't know if you know that. Before he went into the promised land, his name wasn't Joshua. His name was Salvation, but Moses changed his name to Jehovah's Salvation. In the same way, as you've identified yourself a certain way, as you've put pressure on yourself, as you've taken shame and guilt on yourself, as you say you're not enough, you're not up to it, I speak release to you, and I change your name. In this place, we are Christ followers. We are his, bought and paid for. We are those that bring him a return on his investment. He yeah. deserves a return on his investment, his very life. Father, we are your sons who do that. I just want you guys to consider this a Holy Spirit anointing and a commissioning. Can't wait to hear your stories.
Yeah.
God bless you.